This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han and Joyce Gore with the top business news of the day. We're going to start with properties. We all live in one. The question is, we had a policy statement that suggested there was a blanket freeze in the approval of luxury properties. Apparently not. According to the second finance minister, Datuk Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, luxury projects can still get the green light. But developers must first provide justification to the relevant ministers.
So here's a recap. Datuk Sri Johari reportedly says an indefinite freeze on luxury property projects had been enforced starting November 1st until all excess supply is cleared, right? November 20th, Works Minister Fadila Yusof said this is not a blanket stop order. It will be given out on a case-by-case basis. November 21st, Dato' Sri Johari says there is no U-turn. November 29th, Dato' Sri Johari said he will meet with the PM to allow such luxury projects on a case-by-case basis in major cities like KL, Penang and Ipoh. And this is despite him previously saying the ban was nationwide. And then now, yesterday, Dato' Sri Johari says developers can build offices and shopping malls provided they justify their projects to the relevant ministers.
Yeah, and look, I really hope this is the end of it because, I mean, just based on the recap that Joyce just mentioned there, I'm confused. Are you guys confused? Yeah.
Well, you know, there are two possibilities. One is, developers as a lobby group have managed to change government thinking about this. There's the other flip side, of course, is that why weren't the stakeholders consulted in the first place before the policy statement was put out?
Right.
And so, you know, so depending on how you look at it, you know, either this is a very responsive government or what we're seeing is policy flip-flop.
Right. You know, but that criticism is not just confined to this instance, right? We have seen that with, say, the tourism tax, you know, or the foreign levies being imposed on foreign workers, you know. So very often, you know, policy consistency, you know, that's been found wanting on a part of Putrajaya. And then as an added element, it's the communication of that policy that's been found wanting as well. So clearly, you know, as this story has shown, you know, Putrajaya still lacks on those two fronts.
Okay. Well, despite these uncertainties, the Malaysian Institute of Professional Estate Agents and Consultants expects the property market to stabilize and, in fact, improve next year, 2018.
Yeah, so this apparently is due to an uptick in transaction value. According to National Property Information Centre, there's been an increase in transaction volume between the first quarter of 2017 and the second quarter of this year. So second quarter of this year, transactions were 77,000 worth 33.3 billion ringgit. And for first quarter, it was 76,000 transactions worth 34.52 billion ringgit. So in terms of value, it's lower. But in terms of number of transactions, it's higher for second quarter compared to first quarter.
Yeah, so you know this is enough for MIPEAC. Again, that's the Malaysian Institute of Professional Estate Agents and Consultants. Okay, so they disagree fully with claims that the property market is headed for a crash in 2018. So even with those overhang of units there, that's I think more than 20,000 in the first half of this year, they don't see that as a precursor to any kind of crash.
Interestingly, though, the MIPAC's outlook comes as Moody recently warned of a material decline in property prices.
Yeah, so Moody's got a bit of a different take than MIPEAC. So they see that volume of unsold and vacant properties, you know, being, well, over 130,000 in the first quarter of this year. You know, that could have some spillover effects into the broader economy. So as more supply enters the property market, the higher the risk of a price correction, that diminishes bank asset quality, and then that could in turn be credit negative for Malaysian banks. Now, in their report, Moody's also highlights who's most at risk here. They say those with housing loans with high loan-to-value ratio, perhaps 90% or higher of the property value.
And over on the retail side, guys, the occupancy rate is at a five-year low, having fallen over the last 6 years. This is according to a real estate services firm. And as of the third quarter, quarter of 2017, total retail stock in Klang Valley stood at 61 million square feet, with another 16 million set to come online via 23 different projects, right? So that's an increase of 26% compared to what's already in the market.
Yeah, so that's according to Nawawi Tai Leong Sundaram Berhad. Now, going back to Moody's, though, when it comes to vacancy rates in the retail sector for KL, Penang and Johor, those vacancy rates expected to go from the current 13%, that's 1-3, up to 30%, okay? When you take Bank Negara's perspective, they see 140 new shopping malls in the Klang Valley, Penang and Johor by 2021, as if we need that many more shopping malls. So very often, right, you've got the man on the street who then points to these vacant lots in these shopping malls and see, you know, there we go. That's a sign right there that the Malaysian economy is tanking. But when we look at these numbers and the narrative coming out from these various industry bodies, right, you are seeing a case of a mismatch between the supply and demand. Not just in retail, but also in offices, also in residential.
Okay, moving on from the property sector to the aviation sector, where the outlook is rosier. According to the International Air Transport Association, 2018 will bring better profits for airlines and some cheer.
Yeah, sure. So they expect airlines in the Asia-Pacific to see profits rise 8.4%. That should translate to US $9 billion versus US $8.3 billion this year. So more capacity set to go online, but demand growth still expected to outpace those added seats. And demand is seen growing 7%, while capacity growth is 6.8%. Right?
Yeah, you know, but you've got passenger volume growth that's seeing being led by China, India and Indonesia. So Asia-Pacific, according to IATA, you know, Asia-Pacific is the center of gravity in terms of where the industry is heading. But in terms of profitability, you got to look at North America. North American airlines are expected to account for almost half of total global aviation profits. Okay, still, overall, the broader trend across the world is net profit set to rise next year, revenue also on the up. Average net profit per departing passenger also climbing. Here's a number to latch on to, okay? 4.3 billion passengers worldwide. That's 200 million more compared to this year's figure. So plenty of people going on chuti-chuti, okay? Now, just to bring it back to the Malaysian context here, now, I wonder how much of that global rise in profits, how much would that actually filter down to Malaysian Airlines? Because keep in mind, okay, these guys have been saying they want to be sustainably profitable before they relist, right? And that relisting, you know, perhaps slated for 2019.
Yeah, whether it's chuti-chuti or worky-worky, I think the question remains, because a lot of people take planes to get to work, not within a city, but, you know, between cities. The question is, and that's being asked, of sustainability. You mentioned it just now. The question is... Joyce, you know, what are the downside risks?
Well, IATA has said that airlines are achieving sustainable levels of profitability, but challenges remain in the cost front due to rising expenses of labor, infrastructure and fuel. Remember that crude oil prices have gone from the mid $40 a barrel in June to above $60 a barrel since November this year. So, and fuel prices expected to account for nearly a third of cost in 2018.
Speaking of costs, it's not just airlines who have to contend with a rising cost. Starting January, the first travellers flying out of KLIA, headed for international destinations beyond ASEAN, will have to pay 23 ringgit more in passenger service charges. So, yeah, chuti-chuti, worky-worky.
That's right.
You're going to pay.
Yeah. Passengers flying out of KLIA 2 will pay 46% more in passenger service charge for international destinations beyond ASEAN, as the rate will be increased to 73 ringgit from the current 50 ringgit effective 1st January next year. So this is part of a move to level the playing field for airlines operating in Malaysia.
Yeah, and they also did hike the PSCs for January 1st this year as well. Okay, so now according to MAVCOM, you know, even after these revisions, the PSC in Malaysia remains among the lowest in the world. But we did a quick check here. If you look at Changi, PSEs there, less than 20 Singapore dollars. In today's terms, that's about 60 ringgit. That's right, folks. Singapore dollar now back down to about 3-ish to the ringgit. You look at Jakarta's Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. PSEs for international flights there range from 45 to 60 ringgit. But, Bangkok's, Malaysia's international PSEs, that is still lower than Bangkok's of about 87 ringgit or 700 baht.
Well, you know, the question is, what do foreign airlines think about the equalizing of the passenger service charges? On the Breakfast Grill last month, Han, you spoke to Andrew Bunn, country manager for Emirates. He covers Singapore, Malaysia and Brunei. Is this what he had to say?
From our point of view, it's about parity. We think there should be parity between airports and terminals. We think the facilities are more or less the same, and it doesn't make sense for passengers to be paying more or less from one airport than or from one terminal than the other. So we're in favour of parity. We'd support that absolutely.
But in this case, it's going up for KLIA2, and you said
yes.
Something quite telling there. So in your view, KLIA and KLIA2 on par?
I think the general view is that the facilities are more or less the same. I think you'd have to have a very significant difference to be able to have a very significant difference in the charges, and I don't think that's the case.
That was you, Han, speaking to Andrew Bunn, country manager, Singapore, Malaysia and Brunei for Emirates Airlines. Now we're coming up to the news, and after that we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market. And there's more coming up in the next hour, including the BBC World Service on the Morning Run, and talk about a discussion about the warning signs of the global economy and how to read them adequately. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.